Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, today is the fifth sermon in my eight-part sermon series on stewardship. And once again, the theme for this entire series is stewardship, a matter of receiving and living. We've learned two important things about being God's stewards. First, we can't be God's stewards unless we receive from Him, because everything we have comes from God. Not only does God give us life and all of our physical blessings, but even more, God gives us spiritual life. That is, He gives us the forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ. We must receive God's salvation through faith in Jesus if we are to live as His stewards in this world. Secondly, we've also learned that being God's steward means that your entire life is to be lived to God's glory as an offering of praise and thanksgiving for all that He has done for you through Jesus. Now today's sermon title is God's Stewards Live in Community. We're going to learn from Holy Scripture that when God saves sinners, they become part of an eternal family in Christ. So when we meet in this place together to receive Christ's gifts and to worship Him, this is just a dim picture of the eternal fellowship we will share as brothers and sisters in Christ. In fact, a few minutes ago, we confessed our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We also sometimes use the Apostles' Creed on Sunday mornings. Now, at the beginning of the third section of the Apostles' Creed, we read these words, "I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints." We say those words a lot from the Apostles' Creed, but what do they mean? Well, simply put, the Holy Spirit is the one who creates the church. You see, the church is not a building. The church is not some organization. The church is you. The church is all people who have been called to repentance and faith in Christ by the Holy Spirit, who works through baptism and the preaching and teaching of God's Word to call people from a life of unbelief to a life of faith in Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, if you note, the Apostles' Creed says that the church that the Holy Spirit creates is both holy and Christian. Holy Christian church. Why do we say that? Because we are holy before God through faith in Christ. We are holy before God through faith in Christ, whose blood washes away the guilt of our sin, and who clothes us with His own holiness and righteousness. Therefore, we believe in the holy Christian church. However, the creed also says that this church is the communion of saints. Now, what does that mean? Well, simply put, there is no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. You see, the notion that a person can be a Christian without having fellowship with other Christians, that idea is simply foreign to the teaching of Holy Scripture. In addition, the modern idea that a person's faith is a private matter, or worse yet, that a person can believe whatever he or she wants to believe, well, that idea is also completely foreign to the teaching of Holy Scripture. You see, when God saves you, you become part of a family, His family, and you can't do without your family. That means that you meet with your family on a regular basis, and you share various things in common with your family, especially your common belief in the teaching of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We heard about this fact in our second reading from Ephesians chapter 4. Listen again to this part of it. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Here we see that we Christians are not lone rangers doing our own thing and believing whatever we want. No. Paul mentions the Spirit, he mentions the Lord, he mentions God the Father. And this is just one of many examples in Scriptures where God reveals to us who He is. The one God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In fact, Paul says there is but one baptism. And as you know, we were all baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Then Paul says that there is one faith. This means that we share a common faith in God's Word alone. In fact, the pure teaching of God's Word unites us, and it protects us from false teaching that the devil uses to divide us. That's why Paul said the following. Listen again. He says, "Then we will no longer be infants, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is, Christ." So now do you see why it is so important for us Christians to hear and to read and to study God's Word together? The truth of God's Word unites us in a common faith, and it also rescues us from the various false teachings of this world that the devil uses to divide the body of Christ. In fact, the sermon hymn we sang moments ago was "The Church's One Foundation." If you look at the third stanza of that hymn, we read these words: "Though with a scornful wonder the world sees her oppressed, by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed." These words of that hymn teach us what Scripture clearly teaches us, and that is this: false teaching is what divides us. So, what's the answer to the problem of false teaching? Well, the second stanza of our sermon hymn also addresses that. Listen to this. "Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth, her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food." Did you hear that? God wants us to be one, but we're one as we share a common faith in His Word alone. In fact, the sermon hymn mentions one holy food. That is a reference to the Lord's Supper, my friends. You see, when we eat and drink Christ's body and blood, we become one with God and one with each other. That is why the Lord's Supper is also called Holy Communion. It's holy because it's God's work, God's gift to us, and it's communion because God uses it to unite us to Himself and to one another. That is why Christ teaches us to reconcile with one another when we take the Lord's Supper together. You see, we do not come to the Lord's table as private individuals, as Lone Ranger Christians. No, we commune as a family, as brothers and sisters in Christ. So as it says in our sermon title, God's stewards live in community. Christ and His Word make us one family. We are united, first and foremost, by our common faith in Christ's Word. In fact, that's what Jesus means in our gospel reading when He prays that we may be one. Let's take a look at our gospel reading for a little bit. First of all, please note what Jesus does not mean. That statement, "let them all be one," is terribly misunderstood in our world today. In fact, we have many church bodies that deny the teaching of Scripture, deny basic teachings of Christ, and then say, "hey, let's just all be one in spite of the fact that we don't agree on anything." That's not the unity that Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about pretending to be one based on some contrived human unity. Instead, Jesus means that we are one when we have a common faith in His Word. The Word He entrusted first to His apostles, through whose teaching we now believe in Jesus. For example, remember what Jesus prayed when He prayed for His apostles? He said, sanctify them by the truth, your word is truth. And then, after that, Jesus prayed for us. He said, I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message, the apostles' message, that all of them may be one. That's one reason we sometimes say the Apostles' Creed together. We are one in the teaching of Christ. Christ entrusted His teaching to His apostles, whose writings we have in Holy Scripture, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And by the way, the Apostles' Creed is called the Apostles' Creed because early Christians wrote that creed based on the teachings of the apostles in Holy Scripture. So now you know why it is so important for us to meet together and remember our baptism. Now you know why it is so important for us to meet together to hear and read and study God's Word. Now you know why it is so important for us to meet together to receive Christ's body and blood in the Lord's Supper. And now you know why it is so important for us to meet together to pray and to praise our God and Savior. Let me just share a couple Bible verses that speak to this. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul writes, Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. In Hebrews chapter 10, we read, And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, having said all that about being one in Christ's Word, there is one other thing I want to say about what it means for God calling us to be His stewards and then living in community. Simply put, even though we are all one in Christ, nevertheless, we all have different gifts and abilities. And all of these gifts and abilities are needed to build up the body of Christ and support the mission of Christ's church. For example, in our reading from Ephesians, we heard that Christ calls some to be pastors and teachers, and I'm in that role. My job is to serve you with Christ's word so that you can live a life of repentance and faith and become mature and grow in the knowledge of God's word. My job is also to proclaim to you in Christ's name that you are forgiven. You heard me say that moments ago after you confessed your sins. I said in the place of Christ and by His command, your sins are forgiven. And Martin Luther teaches that when you hear those words from your pastor, they are as valid and certain as if Jesus Himself said them to you. Why? Because I'm not really the one forgiving your sins. Jesus is. He's simply using me to tell you that you are forgiven. But guess what? You all, every single one of you, you all have a part to play in the mission of Christ's church. In our reading from Romans, Paul listed various gifts that God gives to His people, and he could have mentioned other gifts as well. The point is, you have a place in God's family, and you are important. You see, whatever our gift may be, we should not think that our gift is more important than another. We're all equally necessary. Instead, every Christian's unique contribution needs to be seen as a very important part of building up the body of Christ. In fact, you need to know that I thank God every day for the ways that various members of our congregation serve our mission with the unique gifts that God has given them. And you know, God has a plan to use you as He works through your unique talents and abilities to serve your Christ Church. In fact, even if all you can do is pray, God will work through your prayers to bless the mission of His church. Finally, I'd also like to add this last note about what it means to live together in community. Scripture also teaches that God works through us to love one another and to serve each other, especially during times of hardship and difficulty. One of the ways that God shows His love for us is by working through each and every one of us to love one another. In a world where so many people hate each other and are being hated, this is the one place where we should be able to come and feel safe and loved. Because here, as a family in Christ, God works through each and every one of us to build each other up, to love each other, and to especially be there for each other during our times of hardship and trial. Our closing hymn for today is the hymn, Abide With Me. When we sing that hymn, pay attention to those words and what they say about the point I just made about loving one another. In closing, I want you to leave this place knowing that God's stewards live in community. My friends, God has saved you. That means your sins are forgiven, and through Jesus you are holy in God's sight, and you can look forward to the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. You are a member of God's eternal family through faith in Jesus Christ. And because you are a member of His eternal family, in this world, you get to live in community. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In a moment we'll have the offering, but before we do that, please share the peace of the Lord with your neighbor.